One of the central symbols of this season after the Epiphany is a light. And this symbol first appears at the very beginning of the season on the feast of the Epiphany itself. The wise men, those three astrologers from the east, follow the star to the Christ child in Bethlehem. And there they worship him and present gifts to him. That theme of light has continued throughout these Sundays after the Epiphany, and our lessons this morning continue that. In both the lesson from the prophet Isaiah and in the Gospel, we hear, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And in today's psalm we sang, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? During the season, Jesus is revealed to us as the light of the world. And John's Gospel tells us that he is a light so strong that the darkness of this world cannot overcome the light. I was thinking about this yesterday as we celebrated the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. And as I was thinking about that feast, it made such sense to me that we would keep that feast in this season, for that story of Paul's conversion is so full of the role, the centrality of light. You may know the story. Paul, the great persecutor of the followers of Jesus, is on his way to Damascus to arrest some Christians. And on the road, he hears the voice of Jesus. And Jesus asks him, why do you persecute me? And there's a bright light, so bright that it knocks Paul to the ground, and it blinds him. And through this experience, Paul has a total change of heart and life. His conversion brings him from being the great persecutor of the church to being the apostle to the Gentiles, the one who goes throughout the Gentile world preaching, proclaiming Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. And through his witness, many come to follow Jesus. Reflecting on the conversion of St. Paul, the daily word from the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge yesterday was called Illumination. It's very fitting. In it, Brother Keith Nelson wrote, the light of Epiphany can illumine gently, conveniently casting a beam precisely where we need it, but it can also knock us off our horses, as it did to St. Paul on the road to Damascus. You might need a moment to be still and allow your eyes to adjust if what blinded you was in fact the dazzling light of a new and unexpected sunrise. The Epiphany light of God can shine gently. It can allow us to see the dark places. Its gentle light can lead us along the path that God would have us follow. But this light, make no mistake about it, can also blaze with God's glory. It can blind us. It can stop us in our tracks. It can give us pause, leading us to reevaluate our lives. The light of God in its power can refocus us and can leave our lives radically changed. In today's gospel, I think that's exactly what we see happening. Peter, Andrew, James, and John all have their own experience of the light come among them and upending their lives. The evangelist Matthew tells us how the four men, all fishermen, set out one day for work, and their lives are radically changed. As they are fishing, Jesus comes upon them and says, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately, Matthew says, they drop their nets and they follow. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear this message, I really am amazed by it. These four men, in Matthew's version at least, seem to have no reason to expect. They have no warning that Jesus is going to come to them that day. Presumably, they have never spoken with him before. And yet, for some reason, when Jesus calls, they drop everything. They leave the work they are doing, their business as fishermen, their families, their possessions, and they go with Jesus. It makes me wonder, what was it about Jesus that allowed them to do this seemingly extreme act? What in that moment did they experience that they would allow their lives to so radically be changed, that they would give up everything they knew, everything that was familiar, everything they held dear, and set off into an unknown future? Clearly, there must have been something in Jesus' call that they just could not resist. In their interaction with him, something touched them profoundly, deeply, that they were able to just go and set off with him. When Jesus invites them to go, they go with seemingly no hesitation. The call of Jesus is so compelling, so irresistible, they show complete obedience, and they immediately go with him. Now, I wonder if sometimes it can be tempting for us to see this passage as an interesting gospel story, but written long ago, about people very different from us. And we might, in a way, hold it at arm's length, assuming that it doesn't have much to do with you and me. But I would offer this story is about us, even these many centuries later. In our day, Jesus calls followers. Jesus calls us. We are gathered this morning in this church celebrating this Eucharist because Jesus called each one of us to be here. We are here because we responded to his call. We found our way to this worshiping community. Each of us is called to walk in the light of Jesus, to follow the light as it leads us in God's ways. Each of us is called to a particular path, to a unique journey, to a vocation given us by God. And all of us are used by God to build God's kingdom in this time and in this place. Now, it is perhaps unlikely, though I hasten to add not impossible, but it is probably unlikely that God will call us to a journey as radical as Peter and Andrew, James and John. And yet, God does call us all. Most of us will not be called to leave our possessions, our professions, our families, in order to follow Jesus. But all of us are called to leave behind our world and enter into the new world into which Jesus invites us. The call of Jesus leads us into a new life, into new ways of being. It's a call out of the ways of this world. Jesus calls us away from a world that is so obsessed and focused on status and power, a world that has so many hierarchies of worth. Jesus calls us to leave behind a world where some people are considered important, some have more value, and others are considered dispensable. Jesus leads us away from a world of consumerism, where buying and collecting possessions is thought to bring happiness, fulfillment, and purpose. When in reality, it hurts us, it hurts others, it hurts the creation. This new world into which Jesus invites us is one where we give over our heart, our mind, our will to be disciples. We allow Jesus to shape and form us into the people we are created to be. We allow Jesus to give ourselves over to him, to follow him, to proclaim the good news of his through our deeds and through our words. The call of Jesus leads us into a new life which is focused on loving service, of giving of ourselves without counting the cost. It is a life of welcoming the stranger and the forgotten, of fighting injustice and oppression, of reflecting the light of God's love to the world. Jesus comes to us and invites us to a deeper life, to a life that we can scarcely hope for or even imagine. In our gospel reading, the call of Jesus seems to me to come in really very ordinary ways. Jesus comes upon four men who are fishing, just like you and me going to work. It's a day that starts like so many others before. But then Jesus calls them, invites them to be fishers of people. Jesus comes to them where they are. He meets them as they are. He enters into their everyday routine. And then I think he calls them in language they can understand. Jesus calls them to fish for people just as they did for fish. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus does this. With someone who farms, he invites them to follow by planting the seed of the gospel. Jesus comes to each one of us in the ordinariness of daily life and comes using language we can understand. Jesus is not remote and aloof from us. Jesus does not use obscure language we must decipher and figure out. I think if we are attentive, if we allow ourselves to be open to the possibility of God entering into our lives, then we will hear Jesus' call, and we will understand his words. If our hearts and our minds are open, we will sense God's call for us, and we will be completely overcome by the love that Jesus has for us and be able to readily answer his call, following where he will lead. Jesus chooses us, chooses you, chooses me, and calls us to respond by choosing him. Jesus calls us, like those first disciples, to give over our heart, our mind, our will to love of him. Like the first disciples, we are to give ourselves wholly to him, responding to his invitation with obedience and also with trust, following where he leads. We are called above all to love him, trusting that he faithfully cares for us. For Jesus promises to supply all we need in order to answer the call he gives. He gives us everything we need to say yes to his invitation. Even when we may not feel worthy of that call, we may not feel up to God's call, we might worry that somehow we lack something, or maybe we don't have what we need to follow. We come to realize we can trust God. Through the gifts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we do have everything we need. We do have everything we need to follow Jesus where he leads. We possess everything we need to do that which he calls us to do. For the vocation and the work to which Jesus calls us, the places that he would have us go, are important, for they are God's work in the world. While we can't possibly fully know the mind of God or the purposes of God, we can trust that what God calls us to do is part of God's plan, that through our efforts, though small they may seem, and through the efforts of others, God's kingdom is built in and through all of us, bit by bit, in this age and in this place. In our collect of the day today, we prayed, "Give us grace, O Lord, to readily answer the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works." The collect reminds us of the call of Jesus is an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of salvation to all people, that the whole world perceives the glory of God, knows the marvelous acts of Jesus. For we are called to present our lives as a witness to the love of God, to the power that God has to transform this world. We're called to witness to the power of God's light, to shine to all places of sin and despair. And in this age of division and hatred, our lives are to witness to our unity in Jesus, to help overcome estrangement and alienation. Through our words and our deeds, others can come to know the promise even that death is not the end, but the gateway into life eternal. The life to which Jesus calls us is that of being beacons of God's love, of reflecting God's light to the world. In following Jesus, we ourselves become evangelists. Our call is to invite others to come to Jesus, to come and see who Jesus is. It is our task to share with others our own experience of the life of Jesus. And so, on this third Sunday after the Epiphany, may we be like those first disciples. May we give our hearts and our minds over wholly to Jesus. May our hearts burn within us with love of him. And full of his love, may we turn our lives over wholly to him, following without hesitation, without delay, wherever he leads us. And may the light of Christ shine within us for all to see, that all may come to know the love of God made known in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. May we live a life that is so vibrant as to be contagious, so that others are irresistibly drawn to come and to see who Jesus is, to experience the life to which he calls. Amen.